thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
An airplane cleaner was cleaning a plane's cockpit when he saw a book titled How to Fly an Airplane for Beginners, Volume 1. He opened the first page, which said, "To start the engine, press the red button." He did so, and the airplane engine started. He was happy and opened the next page, which said, "To get the airplane moving, press the blue button." He did so, and the plane started moving at an amazing speed. He wanted to fly, so he opened the third page and said, "To let the airplane fly, please press the green button." He did so, and the plane started to fly, and he was so excited. After about 20 minutes of marvelous flying around and around, he was so happy, and he began to think of landing. So he decided to go to the fourth page, and page four said, "To be able to know how to land a plane, please purchase volume 2 at the nearest bookshop." The moral lesson: don't read half the book. We need to read all of the book, don't we? We need to take it all in. So, folks, if you're on social media, you'll already be aware that our title this morning is Putting on God's Wardrobe. I imagine that most, if not all of us, went to the wardrobe this morning, and maybe you stood in front of it. I've got to be very careful what I say here. Maybe the ladies took a little bit longer to look at their wardrobe. And maybe the man just, that will do. But I'm sure all of us went to the wardrobe and picked what we're wearing this morning. Putting on God's wardrobe. The Bible seems to tell us to do some things that on the face of it seem to be contradictory commands that appear to be contrasting. We're told to stand up, to stand firm, to stand still, and yet we're told at times to sit down and to lie down. We're told to put off, and we're told to put on. We're advised to put on the full armour of God, which, by the way, is my subject tonight. So unfortunately, you have to put up with me tonight again, and our subject tonight will be putting on God's weaponry, kind of following on from our message this morning. And then he instructs us in Scripture to put on gentleness and to put on peace. Seems a contrast to dressing as a warrior. We're called to come, we're instructed to go. The Bible tells us to walk and then to run. And then we're encouraged to be awake, to be alert, to rest. We're told to both forget and remember. We were remembering the Lord's table this morning, the Lord's death, of course. And so this morning's title, Putting on God's Wardrobe, what does that exactly mean? What is it that God wants us to put on today and each and every day that we live for him? And so if you turn with me, please, to the book of Colossians chapter 3, I think we will find the answer to this question. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start reading at verse 1. Colossians 3. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: immorality, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, or greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once," that word is so key, so important, "once," that's, we once walked or once lived in them. And yet Paul's saying, "But now you yourselves are to put off," even though you once walked in them, he's saying that we still need to put them off. We need to put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. "Out of your mouth do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, or as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, or put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, that's patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do, you must forgive them. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, or which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ richly dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's just repeat verse 17. And whatever you do, whatever that may be, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As I said to you a few moments ago, it's my great privilege to be able to speak tonight again about the importance of putting on God's weaponry, God's armor. But before we can actually do that, we actually need to put on his wardrobe. And so we've just read in Colossians 3, there are a long list of items that we are asked or instructed to put on. These put-ons are grounded in two things. If you look at verse 9 and you look at verse 10, it talks about laying aside the old self with its evil practices. And then it says, put on the new self, which is being renewed according to the image of the one who created us. If you look at the preceding verse, in verse 8, we are told to put a number of things aside. We're told to put anger aside, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech, or in your translation might say filthy language, and then it goes on to say about lies. I don't know if you're familiar with what would be the world's smallest troublemaker. The world's smallest yet largest troublemaker is this. I have one. But you have one. And I think if we're being honest, we all have a problem with it. Yes, it's one of the smallest things in the world, but there's no doubt it's one of the biggest troublemakers. It's the words that we say can be so lethal. How often do we open our mouths before we engage our brains? Quite often, I'm sure. Before we can put on some good things, we need to take off some bad things. So if you can imagine that you've got your old clothes on, whatever you've been doing, you need to take off your old smelly, your old rotten, your old tattered clothes before you can put on your new, clean, tidy, fresh-smelling clothes. Maybe a shower in the middle might be a good idea as well. And so we need to rid ourselves of some bad habits. These are all habits that we used to have, or perhaps maybe still tag along with from time to time. And so we need to put off or do away with or put to death these fleshly things that will so easily weigh us down, so that we're in a position to embrace some of the good habits, some of the good choices, and putting on the right things, the right attitudes and the right practices that will help us to run the race that we're asked to run more effectively and efficiently. And so putting on God's wardrobe is the act of dressing ourselves in a brand new image. the new look of the new creation, of the new man or the new woman of God in Christ. And so let's take a wee look at this extensive list that Paul has written for us, and he's placed it on the table, so to speak, for us to do. So will you turn with me again if you have your Bibles opened or your phone or whatever? If not, will you just maybe turn back to Colossians chapter 3? Let's just pick it up again in verse 12, please. So therefore, we've said before, when you see the word therefore, you need to see why it's therefore. And so it's because it's a linking word. It's a bridge between what was said before and what is going to be said. And so what was said before was about putting off certain things, and then we're asked to put on certain things. So therefore, in verse 12, as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on compassion, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness, put on patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. And so within these verses, within this little section that we've just reread, Paul couches his message in three things. In verse 12, he reminds us of the fact that we are a new creation in Christ. We are a new man, or we are a new woman. As Wesley quite rightly shared with us this morning, in Christ we now have life. We have moved from death. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, haven't we, into the kingdom of God's wonderful Son. And so we read here in verse 12, following, says that there are three things. That number one, we are chosen by God. We are chosen, or we are elected. Then we are consecrated by God. Holy is the word, or the choice of word, the term that Paul is using here. And we are cherished by God. So we are beloved by Him. That's the term that he uses. If you cherish something, you really treasure it. And so it can't really get any better than that. The God of all creation has called us, he has consecrated us, and he has cherished us. So what an awesome privilege that is ours this morning. And then Paul takes us by the hand, and he invites us to take a closer look at God's wardrobe. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think there are 12 items in this spiritual wardrobe, 12 instructions in how we should spiritually dress ourselves and how we should look and go about our business. Now, don't be panicking. We're not going to take 10 minutes on each point, okay? We're just going to skim over them. It's more the principle that we want to look at this morning rather than perhaps individual items that are on the list. But the great Apostle Paul sets out a must-have list of spiritual items that we should adorn ourselves with. So if we're going to be renewed and become more like the image of the one who created us, then we need to have a serious look inside our own locker, inside our own wardrobe, our own personal wardrobe, to see if we possess the items that are in God's wardrobe. And daily take them out of this wardrobe and, in a sense, put them on us so that we shine for Jesus in a dark and lonely world. So let's have a wee run through, if you've still got your Bibles open there. It starts off there in verse 12. It says about put on a heart of compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on gentleness. put on patience. I was going to say it's strange, but maybe it's not strange. You don't really find that in the world today, do you? How much compassion do you get from the world? How much kindness is there, humility, gentleness, or patience? Put on a heart of kindness. Colossians 3 verse 12 tells us, don't know if you see the guy who is circled there? He is trying his best to be kind. He's pushing that truck for all he's worth. But he's standing on top of the truck. So, yeah, he's kind, but he is a bit stupid too, isn't he? See, kindness is a language that the deaf can hear, the blind can see, and the broken can feel. And then if you look on to verse 13, put on bearing with one another. In other words, put on, putting up with people. Don't be put off with putting up with the put-offs in life. Do you ever get put off by somebody? I think we all do from time to time. Then put on forgiveness. How essential is that? Again, we came round the table this morning. If you love the Lord and you're walking in fellowship with him, you're invited to come to the table and to remember the Lord and to partake of the symbols or the emblems, because that's all that they are, in a remembrance for what Jesus did for us. How he forgave us. See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Sure, there's not. There's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And so that is our model, that is our mandate, that if somebody wrongs us, if somebody uses the world's biggest troublemaker to offend us, then we have to forgive them. We all know, we've said it before, and it's challenging, but offense is a choice. It's a choice whether we live in it or whether we deal with it and forgive the person and move on. And as verse 14, it is a biggie. It says, Paul says, above or beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. In other words, Paul is saying that love is the super glue that keeps us all together. The world will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. And so that is the cement, that is, love is the cement or the glue that binds us together as the family of God in unity. I know that most of you were here last Sunday night when we had Robert McCauley with us, or perhaps some of you maybe caught it on Zoom or maybe listened to the podcast afterwards, which of course you can always do if you miss any of our messages. One piece of advice that Robert gave us as a church and gave us as a leadership was, stay united. Stay united. And you know, God's doing something wonderful among us. His grace and his favor is upon us, and we're super excited about what he's done, what he is doing, and what he wants to do. But the little foxes can come in. You know, the little foxes that spoil the vine. We've got to be so careful as a church family, both as a leadership, but as a body and a congregation, as a family, a church family, a family of God, that we don't let anything come in that will disrupt our unity here in the church. Now, we've all got families, and we can all have wee tiffs. Yeah? You looked at me as if you don't have families and don't have tiffs. Yous are oh so good. I think that troublemaker gets us into trouble far too often. And so as a church family, we need to guard against disunity and disharmony. It's so, so important going forward that to continue to retain the blessing and the favor of God, that we stay united. I think it's Psalm 133 says that where there is unity, where the brethren, okay, we're going to include the sisters in this, When the brethren, when the church dwell together in unity, God commands a blessing. And so Paul says here, put on love, which is the perfect bond of peace or the perfect bond of unity. I think it's perhaps the British Grand Prix at some stage today. I don't know, maybe some of you guys want to get home for 1 o'clock or whatever. But if you take this picture of a Formula One car, I don't know if you can see all the numbers that are on the backs of all of those guys, maybe some girls as well. There are 21 people who make that pit stop happen. Most pit stops today for a fresh set of tyres takes between 2 and 3 seconds. And that could be the difference in a guy winning the race or not, and maybe winning the championship at the end of the season or not, perhaps could be the pit stop. And so you've 21 people there, but they need to work together in unity. They need to work together in teamwork so that success can happen, so that they can get the driver back out as soon as possible so that he can win the race. And so we are a team. We are a family, but we are also a team. And teamwork makes the dream work. And so we need unity going forward. We need to have a love for one another that is over and beyond the love that the world has for one another. And so both on and off the track, in the Formula One and in church and in our houses, when people see us and when they don't, we've got to have that perfect bond of unity together. Because disunity and disharmony gives the devil a foothold. And if you give the devil a foothold for long enough, it'll become a stronghold. And if he has a stronghold long enough, he'll have a stranglehold. And if he has a stranglehold long enough, it'll lead to death and destruction. If you strangle somebody for long enough, you'll kill them. The life will go out of their lungs. And so we need to be so careful that we have unity going forward. Verse 15, if you turn back to that, says about putting on the peace of Christ and put on thankfulness. I believe we are a deeply thankful people here in Ballymoney Elim. We need to protect that. That is a very precious attribute, that we are thankful and grateful people. And then verse 16 says, put on the word of Christ, or simply put the word of Christ in you. Put it in you, into your heart. Let it richly dwell in you. This is a rich book. It is so rich. There is so much treasure within the Word of God. Instruction for living, wisdom, guidance, everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness is in this book. We need to let it dwell in us richly. We'll touch on that this evening when we're looking at God's weaponry, because we will look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We'll touch on that this evening. And then back to verse 16, says, lastly, put on wisdom. Adorn yourself with the wisdom of God, not an earthly wisdom, not a shallow temporal wisdom, but a godly, deep, lasting, spiritual wisdom. You kind of think, wow, Paul, you're kind of putting us under a wee bit of pressure here. You've given us 12 things to put on. Can we really do that? Well, in and of ourselves, of course, no. But through the Holy Spirit, of course, we can. So can we consider how these spiritual items, that we will dress ourselves, that we will, even on a daily basis, that we will open up God's wardrobe, his word, and that we will adorn ourselves with kindness and patience and goodness and love and unity and all of those things that we have talked about. Don't know if you've noticed that most of these things, one way or the other, are part and parcel of the fruit of the Spirit. You know the fruit of the Spirit that Paul teaches and talks about in Galatians. It is, of course, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Now notice that it is fruit rather than fruits. It's fruit. It's one. It's singular. It's not plural. These are not nine individual items that we can pick and choose from. Because if the Holy Spirit is working deeply in our lives, then we will display the fruit of the Spirit, which is this ninefold blessing of joy and peace and patience and love and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And so they're not nine individual items, but they're collectively, they're offshoots or benefits collectively of the main branch, which is the Holy Spirit. Five of these we've actually read in Colossians, and that's love, peace, patience, goodness, and gentleness. And the other three, I believe, are mentioned indirectly. Joy. Surely a thankful person is a joyful person. Faithfulness. Surely if we can faithfully display these 12 items that Paul says are put-ons that we need to dress ourselves with, then we are displaying the fruit of faithfulness. Self-control. If you're able to put up with somebody who's not easy put up with, then you're exercising self-control. I'm sure you've never met a thankful person who isn't a joyful person. Thankfulness and joyfulness flow from the same godly heart. And likewise, you've probably never met an ungrateful person who is a happy person. Ungratefulness and unhappiness flow from the same selfish heart. And that's the old nature. The old man, that's the flesh. And so as I draw this to a close this morning, folks, I know that you're all looking very smart this morning. You've gone to your own wardrobe and you've dressed yourselves and you're all looking pretty good. You put on your Sunday best, but what's it like spiritually? What's our hearts like? Not just on a Sunday, not just when we put the nice new shirt or blouse on. What are we like on a Monday through to Saturday? Are we displaying God's wardrobe in our lives? Are we attractive in the sense of promoting the gospel? Are we people who show and shine the love of Jesus with the people that we meet? Let's hope and pray that we are. And so that's our challenge, folks, in the daily grind of our everyday life. Shining for Jesus, being attractive, putting on the right things, putting off the wrong things, and dressing ourselves with the right things. Not dressing to impress, but dressing ourselves in God's wardrobe so that people are attracted and open to the gospel. And so, folks, we're saved to serve. Just like our young people who are faithfully going out and serving the Lord, we are saved to serve, and we will serve so much better when we dress ourselves in God's wardrobe. Let's just take a wee moment, folks, and we'll just pray before we hand over to the worship team once again. I'm actually going to pray a prayer. That is just, it's a little song. You'll know it well. And I'm just going to pray it. I'm going to pray it for my life. And I'm going to pray it for your life. And it goes like this. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey from earth to glory. All I ask is to be like him, to love like Jesus, to love like Jesus. All I ask is to love like him all through life's journey from earth to glory. All I ask is to love like him, to pray like Jesus, to pray like Jesus. All I ask is to pray like him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to pray like him. To serve like Jesus. To serve like Jesus. All I ask is to serve like him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to serve like him.
Thanks for listening. Amen. To this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.